You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner here on a Thursday with Colton Pouncey to talk some Michigan State football. No Jim Harbaugh talk on this episode, Colton. We're going to leave that for the other 20 shows. But today, Michigan State, of course, Colton was able to get that game in against Ohio State on Saturday. Did not go well, despite Ohio State being down, you know, 23 players, whatever it was, four coaches, including Ryan Day. 52-12 final score. Penn State on Saturday to finish up the regular season, and then I suppose we'll see about the extra game. Before we get into anything about this week or next week, I do want to go back, and I know it's been a couple days, but I do want to go back because I think that, you know, Colton, and I think Mel Tucker probably, and you were on the call Tuesday for his weekly availability, you know, I don't know if salty is the right word. I don't think salty is what I would use, but, like, he's, like, sick of the shit,
yep.
I think, a little bit. Like, I think that that's... That's what I would say. It seems like a guy, like, it seems like a dad who's like, I told you guys, you know, like, stop hitting the back of my seat, right? So many times I'm going to, you know, and I think that it seemed like to me anyway, the self-created issues we've talked about all year that have made Michigan State's games look so much worse at times than they ever needed to, they bubbled over. And I think that Mel Tucker didn't explode, but he was... He wanted us to, I think, know that he was hot about it, and I think he wanted us to know that he told the team he was hot about it, because those are controllables that they can control, and those are things that, you know, pandemic or no, injuries or no, that has to start getting better right now, and I think that that was a fair point, you know, there by Mel Tucker.
You know what Mel kind of reminded me of after the game Saturday? Kind of reminded me of the late, great Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, with the Lakers and, like, the right after their championship run, and he was with that, those terrible players, and he was just, like, sick of all of it. That's what Mel reminded me of Saturday.
Like, throwing the ball at practice.
Yeah, and being just, like, soft. Yeah. That's kind of what he reminded me of. But, you know, after the game, you know, he really didn't hold back, and he, really the last month or so he hasn't held back with his comments. You know, he was kind of like, well, thank God we have another game, because I did not want to see us end the season like this. And I don't know exactly where that comes from. I think he sees some things in practice. He's seen some improvement in games. It's just, you know, he talks about consistency and performance a lot. So I think that's what he wants to see. And when he doesn't see that, even if you're not winning against a team like Ohio State, he wants to see at least some of the things that have gotten them some wins that probably some people didn't expect. And that's just been here and there. It's, you know, it hasn't been consistent all season. So I think when he doesn't see that, it kind of boils him up a little bit, and he gets a little hot at those press conferences. But I think for us, at least, it's kind of entertaining. You know, he's showing some fire late in the season, showing that he wants to get this team in the right direction. But, I mean, he kind of needs some of these players to do the same.
Yeah, he needs better talent, of course, but the culture that's the culture. It's the no mistakes. And, you know, we can go back to, you know, some of Mark D'Antonio's best teams. When I go back and look at them, and remember them, you know, because, and I wasn't covering Michigan State every day, but, you know, I'm covering Michigan, covering the Big Ten. I know, you know, everything that's going on there, obviously, but you can go back and you remember 2013 was a terrific team. 2011 was a very good team. And he had some earlier than that. 14 was great. 15 was great. Those teams never, and especially like 13 and 14, they never, ever put themselves in a situation where they self-inflicted themselves out of a game. Yeah. You did it. They didn't. And at the end, it was trestle ball in a lot of ways, but it was also like with D'Antonio's spin in that they were very good about not only taking advantage of your mistakes, but just never doing the same little dumb, stupid things at, like, you know, Colton, we can watch 100 college football games in a Saturday and see that sort of thing happen, like with 90% of the teams. Mm-hmm. And the 10% of the teams that are the best are the ones that don't do it. They don't hit somebody out of bounds late, you know, in a blowout game anyway. They don't, you know, have a miscommunication on the first offensive snap of the game. You know, like when the other team fumbles, they recover it, that sort of stuff. And that, you know, I believe is just focus detail. And the guys that he has here right now, and that's the thing he's preaching, I think, a lot, as much as anything, you know, talent is only going to get you to a certain point. And here, they're not going to be able to recruit, you know, like Alabama, right? Yeah. They can recruit better, and they can get a lot of, you know, really good players, and they can get better players, and, you know, et cetera, and all that. You know, and if Michigan continues to struggle, you know, maybe Michigan State's recruiting fortunes improve. I mean, that's, we've seen that happen before too. So that could happen. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to matter if they're not playing that sort of, you know, self-contained, like, we are not here to screw you. You guys have got to execute. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that I saw Mark D'Antonio teams make the money play, even if it was boring, just, you know, in the moment. And they did it all the time. That's why those teams were very, very good and really, really hard to play against. And I think that's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen enough of it from the older players, which makes me wonder now, you know, when he talks about roster turnover, that might be where some of that is.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I mean, all of Mark D'Antonio's teams, at least, you know, when he had that program up and running, were fundamentally sound. They weren't beating themselves. And that's the exact opposite of what we've seen this year.
Yeah.
And you want to give them a break because of, you know, all the things that we know and, you know, no offseason basically and a pandemic and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, we're at the end of the season, they're still making mistakes from week one. And I think that's probably what is pissing Mel Tucker off in these press conferences after games and things like that. But I think you're right with roster turnover. That's something that's he's kind of talked about a lot really this month and the end of last month, just saying, look, we got to get some guys in here. You know, obviously the discipline and technique and all that stuff is going to matter. But I think it starts with getting your own players in the system, in what you want to do in the program. And then kind of instilling, you know, that mindset of neutral thinking and, you know, keep playing the next snap. Like, once you get your guys in and you can all teach them and they're not learning different things from different coaches in different years, I think that's going to help you a lot.
And we've said that. They've got some guys that do it. You know, they've got some, like Antoine Simmons has done it. They've got some guys that have been willing to and able to, you know, sort of buy in with it. And some guys I think are trying and they're just, you know, maybe their ability level is not quite there. But, you know, in general, you know, by this point in the year, you really would like to see some of those, you know, hiccups and all the things that we've talked about that sort of contribute to, you know, terrible field position for your defense. And again, like I would say this, I think Michigan State defensively is going to be better sooner than people might realize. Mm-hmm. I think that Scotty Hazleton has a really nice resume. I think he's been able to do some good things in other places. I think he's done good things here. Obviously, we know what Mel Tucker's resume is defensively too. And then you look at the roster. And, you know, they've got guys, we've talked about this, you know, guys up front, they got some guys on the back end, you know, you're still trying to work through some things with maybe some other guys on the roster, and we'll see if, you know, what's going on with a guy like Julian Barnett. I still, you know, obviously you can get more from a guy like that, but, you know, the talent needs an upgrade everywhere, but I think defensively they're closer probably than we realize, but they're sabotaging themselves. It's the same thing that we saw from D'Antonio's last, you know, three teams, and it's because recruiting has fallen off, and it's because they got a little sloppy with attention to detail, and I think a lot of guys got really comfortable with, you know, just externally looking inside. I think a lot of guys got really comfortable with, you know, sort of, I was here first. This is a program seniority thing. This is a hierarchy, and this is how it's going to go, and that's no longer the case. I think, obviously, coaching changes are going to make older players more nervous, and, you know, maybe you could have some pushback on that in terms of guys buying in right away, but I would also caution anyone who's ready to give up on any of those older, and when I say older, I mean like junior, you know, redshirt junior even, or, you know, maybe even a third year guy. I wouldn't give up on any of them yet either, because obviously this has been a weird year and everything else, but yeah, I mean, he said it, Colton, all year. It's going to look pretty different, I would think, moving forward. Transfer portal, JUCO, possibly. You don't want to get too much with that maybe, but, you know, whatever you can do to find guys that can come in here and take somebody's job. That's what I remember years and years ago when I was covering Willie Taggart. That was one of the first things he said when I was, this was my first job covering college football. The job of a head coach when he comes in to take a first job, you know, right away, is to go out and find kids that can come in here and take every guy on the team who has a job, come in and take their jobs. Because that's the only way you're going to get better, is by, you know, basically shocking them into improving and finding really good talent capable of that. And then you've got competition and then you've got something going. And that's sort of what's missing here.
Yeah. And just to go back to that Ohio State game real quick. I mean, Mel Tucker did say, look, if there is a mistake, that was just a matter of us being out talented or, you know, the other squad having more athleticism than us. And, you know, we can live with that mm-hmm. for now because we're working on that. We're trying to bring in better players. But again, it was the self-inflicted stuff that really kind of hurt them. But in terms of, acquiring talent and the message to older players, Mel has let those dudes, those upperclassmen, know that this is going to be about competition. That keeps them on their toes. You know, they can either buy in or hit the portal. It's really that simple. And what it does for the younger guys and the guys that you're trying to recruit, you can then say to them, well, look, we don't care if you're a freshman or a senior. Like, we're going to play the best guys. So come in here, compete, mm-hmm. and we'll get you on the field if you earn it. So what that does is it just elevates the level of competition on your entire squad, elevates the level of talent if you can bring in those guys. And that just makes you a better program. And I think that's kind of the mindset they're trying to drive home. It's tough to do right now when you don't have your players in yet and you can't really fully transform the roster in the way you want to. But I think that's what we'll see a lot this offseason and going forward.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I do wonder, too. Like, I wonder if they were caught, you know, and maybe this is another layer here that, you know, that was maybe further complicates things that, you know, was this program caught in the weird, you know, because sometimes when a program starts over after a coach has been there for a long time and had a lot of success, you know, sometimes it's obvious and it's like obvious to everyone that it has to start over. I don't think it was obvious to everyone that Michigan State needed to start over from Mark D'Antonio. Yeah. I don't think it was. I don't think it was obvious to everyone. And certainly we can go back to like last December. It absolutely wasn't obvious to everyone, including Mark D'Antonio. So I do wonder if like they maybe got caught into some of that. Like, hey, man, we had a pretty good thing going here. You know, we were winning. It wasn't that long ago that we were in the playoff.
Yeah.
And Mel Tucker coming in and saying, hey, man, college football isn't here for what you did 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. This game moves so fast and changes so rapidly that any pushback, you know, you don't have time for it. And I think that that's what I see, you know, when I look at or when we listen to, you know, Tucker talk and you can hear the frustration in his voice. I think it's that he knows, like, especially in college now. I mean, it changes so quick that you can't mess around and wait around for a guy to decide if he's going to give you, you know, like give you everything he has. And so difficult conversations have to happen. And I would assume that, you know, when this season is over, you know, some of those Zoom calls, Colton, they're not going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be a lot of fun for some guys, but it's just nature of it. I mean, we've talked about this the whole time. I don't think, and you have a better sense of this than me. I don't assume there's a lot of pushback from Michigan State fans on the whole, like, what do you mean? Are you going to run guys out of here? Like, what's up with that? That's kind of shady. I don't think that people think that anymore. I think that that's just an accepted sort of a scholarship is sort of a mutual, you know, like mm-hmm. you know, we love you as a player. We want to come in here and let you make you part of our family and give you all the things that we can give you, but you have to come in here and make us better too.
Yeah.
And you know, that has to be, you know, taken into account.
Yeah.
What's the Michigan State fans read on this? What do you like? What's their reaction to that?
I'm glad you asked. And I'm actually glad you brought this point out because it's a really good point to make. I've mentioned in articles that what we're seeing is part of the process. It's part of the rebuild. Everything that's kind of unfolding this year, we should have seen it coming. And whenever I use the word rebuild, I feel like a lot of MSU fans kind of jump on me and they're like, well, what do you mean this is a rebuild? We were so successful in the past decade. We did this. We did that. Look, I'm not here to kind of, you know, try to bring down your accomplishments of the last decade or so. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. But at the same time, if you think you're still that program that was in the Big Ten championship all those years, that was in the college football playoff, I got, you know,
just it's reality. It's a different world even with that. Yeah, right.
It's a different world now. And I think Mel Tucker understands that. And again, I think having the success that Michigan State has had has made it a little harder in a way, because you look at a program like Rutgers, Greg Schiano comes in, he's like, we got to change everything. I'm going to bring in all these transfers. You know, no one's spot is safe. Everyone's like, yes, thank you. Thank God that we have someone here coming. But Michigan right. State, because D'Antonio was such a legendary coach and did so many like great things at the school, I think that any mention of, hey, we got to change some things to get back to where he was, I think people kind of are like, well, what do you mean? Like, what is the culture yeah. change you're talking about? What, like, I felt like our culture was pretty good. And it's not a disrespect thing. It's just a different set of standards, a different set of, you know, philosophies that are coming in with this new coaching staff, that they want to do things differently. And I think the sooner yeah. people realize that, maybe the faster this rebuild will go. And for, if you're watching from afar, it'll feel like maybe less painful if you understand what's happening behind the scenes and what the coaches are trying to do. And it's beyond scheme and everything like that. It's mindset. It's everything that Mel Tucker talks about with his neutral thinking approach. Like, these are two different coaches, two different schools of thought, and we're seeing it take place. And I think it's really that simple.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that, you know, rebuild can mean a few different things, and, you know, it can be in varying degrees too. You know, you can have varying degrees of a rebuild. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Michigan State's situation would be toward the, you know, if Mel Tucker had gotten the job in January and we hadn't had a pandemic, I don't think that, I mean, we would probably call it a rebuild, but it would probably be like a short-term-ish rebuild.
Yeah, I think rebuild has a negative connotation, and it doesn't always have to be that way, and people cannot right. shake that thinking. So
yeah, and that's a fair point, and I think that I can understand that on some level. But yeah, I think what we would have called, maybe we would have developed a different word for it or something or whatever, but like, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have been something where we say, okay, you know, obviously they've got to change some things, they've got to get some, you know, get some dead weight out and, you know, get some of the bad out. It's the stuff that's not working anyway. I don't want to say dead weight or bad, but, you know, fix the broken stuff,
yeah.
enhance the good stuff, and kind of go forward. And maybe it won't take that long, and, you know, maybe it'll take sooner than later, that kind of thing. But it would have been a massive retooling, no matter what you look at, no matter how you look at it, because you're changing over, and D'Antonio's, and that's the other way to look at that. That's what I would say. To the people that didn't think it was a rebuild, or the people that didn't think that he needed to leave, I'm promising you, if it had continued the way that it was continuing, they wouldn't. Would they have won a game? I don't know. Maybe, I guess, in this year.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see that changing at that point. D'Antonio was exhausted. He was burned out. It wasn't working. All the things we've talked about. He was older. Everything else. And the time was right. You got to move on. And when you got to move on, new things have to happen. And old coaching tenures, I think, you know, as hard as it is for fans to sort of separate program from coach, coaching runs, I think, kind of have to be self-contained. And you have to, when that file, you know, when that run ends, you have to file it and you say, okay, well, that was that 10 years or whatever. That's, we'll remember that fondly and or whatever you want, however you want to remember it. If you don't want to remember it fondly, that's your choice. But like, you remember it for what it was, and then you move forward and you hope that, you know, there's enough. You know, you hope that the restart, I suppose, is less painful because the guy prior did a better job than the guy before him, and which in this case is true. So your hope is that the rebuild doesn't take forever, and I don't think that it will, even in this setting.
Right.
But you know, it's not going to be overnight, and you know, you can get the frustration from Mel Tucker, but I think that's a message sent to a lot of people who were wondering, like, no, they're not just going to sit here and like pretend that none of this counts. You know, that's not the message you want to send either. And you want to be upset when you get beat 52-12 at home, you know, even if there's no fans there to see it. And I think that's probably my takeaway, if anything else here.
Yeah, I mean, the coaches, I've talked to a lot of prospects that are committed to Michigan State or have been in talks with Michigan State, and they know this is a rebuild because they hear that from the coaches themselves. Like, yeah, that's what they say. Hey, this is going to take time. Like, you know, the product you see on the field might be a little rough, but hey, we're going to get you in here. We're going to get some other guys in here, and we're going to turn around. Like, a lot of the commits know that. Yeah. And like, you even see some of them, like Michael Gravely, their safety commit from Ohio. He took to Twitter and was like, relax, everyone. Like, we know what this is.
Yeah, right.
So like, they know this is a rebuild. And honestly, like, that's the whole reason you brought in Mel Tucker, to recruit, to upgrade, to modernize, all that stuff is what he's here to do. You know, D'Antonio came out the day he retired and basically said, yeah, I couldn't tell recruits that I was going to be here when I didn't know for myself. Right. You know, I didn't want to adapt with the new recruiting calendars and all the things you have to do to keep up with that. You know, I was at this point in my life, I'm just trying to like make it easier and simplify things. That's what he said. And like when you have a coach who reaches that point, it's time to move on. It's time to bring in someone else that's going to get you there and kind of pass on the torch to the next guy. And that's Mel Tucker. And, you know, we're going to have to see. It's not going to be a 1 year thing. And he's always said that this is not going to happen overnight. You got to give him some time to see if it'll work or not. But the strides that they're making in recruiting and, you know, beating a couple of top 15 teams like that this year, I think those are things that you can feel good about and part of the process early on. But again, ultimately, we'll have to see where this goes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, especially defensively, and I still, we get questions a lot about the offensive line. There are some nice workable prospects here. Good players who I think can be guys that you look back on and say, you know, I think guys that'll help with whatever this foundation is. You know, I don't know if there's a lot of game changers, I would say, on this roster right now. And that's really what you're looking for if you're Mel Tucker. But, yeah. You know, in addition to, you're also looking for more of those foundational guys, you know, guys. And when I say that, I mean, guys like, and we've seen it from, you know, Xavier Henderson. We've seen it from Shakur Brown. We've seen it from, obviously, Antoine, he's older, but like, you know, the guys up front defensively, some of those linemen that have rounded into form and just gotten better every week. Mm-hmm. Angelo Gross is a freshman. I mean, yep. Like younger guys that you're seeing, you know, offensively, you know, what they, you know, Jaden Reed is a kid who is so talented and still learning, and maybe he becomes a game breaker. But bottom line, either way, he's probably going to be a guy you can lean on, right? He seems like he's in here for it. Yeah. So they have guys, you know, but it's not enough. And they really did. I felt like they missed out on that ability to bring in some of your own guys, put them into the pool and let them intermingle and let them just sort of catfish, swim around and stir everybody, you know, like that's like get everybody going. And I think that they didn't have that this year. And I think that that's obviously been missing. And I think it'll be much different next year and it'll be more telling to see how that goes. But obviously next year isn't here yet, as Michigan State has another regular season game Saturday. Gruff Sparty helmets, Colton, is that right for Penn State?
Yes, sir.
Wearing the new
broke
ones?
Those out today.
Is that a first? I don't think they've ever done that.
I don't think so either, because a lot of people have been calling for it. You know, in the video that they put out kind of announcing it, they pulled a tweet from our colleague Chris Vanini from 2013 saying that MSU should wear Gruff Sparty helmets eventually.
Well, there you go.
7 years later, they finally did it. So
7 years in the making, Chris gets his wish. Yeah. So there you go. But either way, so this game, Colton, obviously Mel Tucker didn't say anything about Rocky Lombardi or Peyton Thorne. Lombardi went out of that last game with an injury and didn't return. Thorne came in and obviously looked better. You know, you wrote on Saturday and we agreed upstairs, like there's no other, it's not even a question here. You kind of have to go forward with Peyton Thorne, given all things considered, especially, you know, especially if Rocky can't play. But also I would argue, you know, they've given Rocky Lombardi, I think, every more chances than I probably might have, to be honest. But like, I think they've given him every chance. And the turnovers and the inefficiencies and the similar familiar mistakes haven't really gone away. And, you know, while I think you're not going to get through a long stretch without Peyton Thorne probably making some mistakes, he does seem to be more under control. He's not as rushed, I don't think, is what I would say. Because Rocky at times looks very rushed. And Thorne, for a younger guy, looks to be more under control. And, you know, I kind of like that. I think he made a couple nice throws in that game and a couple nice runs in that game. Especially, I mean, he made that one underhanded shot that I liked in traffic where he kind of dodged around. It wasn't underhanded, but it was like the Stafford, you know, the sidearm. So he's got some stuff. He's got a little game to him. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me other than put him in there, let him start Saturday. Let him get a run in a visiting building and see what happens. That, to me, seems like the only answer here.
Yeah, I mean, we're just at a different point in the season where I think it's justifiable in every way. I mean, you look at the beginning of the season, Rocky had put in work to improve, and he was the upperclassman. You know, he was a veteran, great locker room guy. So I think, all things considered, you know, and I also heard that he was actually the best quarterback in practice.
Sure.
So, you know, he won the job. And I think back then my whole philosophy was, yeah, give him a chance, see what he can do. You know, the Rutgers game wasn't terrible. I know he had a bunch of turnovers, but he also completed, I think, close to 70% of his pass, maybe over 70% of his pass in that game. came back the next week against Michigan, was just torching that secondary all game. So I think there was some buzz about him early on in the season, but you know, it's all about what have you done lately, and he just hasn't done a ton ever since that Michigan game. There's Iowa, where you know he was turning the ball over a lot. I think he had 3 interceptions and had to be pulled from that game. Really, the next two, so there's Iowa game that he was pulled, Indiana he was pulled. I think after the Indiana game, you could have made the move then, I think, to start Thorne. Like, okay, you've given Rocky 4 starts. He's been benched in 2 of them. Like, maybe we can make a move now. They run him back out there for Northwestern. Not that he had a great game. I think it was 11 of 27 for like 166 yards and 2 touchdowns on a pick in that game. So it's not like he really lit up the field, but, you know, you won. And maybe you feel like the upperclassman gives you the best chance to win some games late, so you keep riding him. But I don't know. He came back the next week against Ohio State, did not look like himself, and really got, you know, he got banged up and had to leave that game. That gave you all the chances in the world to put Peyton Thorne in that game and see what he can do, and that's what they did. And I thought he impressed. I thought he was a lot more under control, like you mentioned, and I think he reads the field more than Rocky. Like, we both mentioned this upstairs watching, like, Rocky sometimes it looks like he's just closing his eyes and firing. Like, just to whoever he locks on receiver, and he's like, all right, I'm throwing it here. And a lot of times it doesn't work out well for him. So Thorne, at least, you can tell that he's going through his progressions. You can tell that he's playing under control. He's got his guy, Jaden Reed, his high school teammate out there with him. They have a good connection. And his legs, you know, he scrambles a lot. Yep. He's able to pick up yards. There are times that he's turned what should have been sacks into like a 30-yard gain just by like leaving the pocket and knowing when to run. So I think all those things considered, like, what more have you, like, do you need to see from Rocky Lombardi to say, okay, this isn't the guy? Because they've given him 6 starts and he's been benched in 3 of them. So I don't know what else you need to see. And I think it's at this point in the season with 1 game left and then the crossover game, why not just throw Peyton Thorne out there and see what he can do over the course of a full game?
Yeah, big time. I mean, great points all the way around. When I look at quarterbacks in today's game, especially in college, you know, I look at what can you do when a play sort of breaks down and you have to now improvise. And Lombardi's improvisations in those moments are often like, sometimes they work, but sometimes they are terrifying, and sometimes they're like, what are you doing, man? Like, where are you going? It's like you don't have a plan. Like, you can't be improvisational without a plan. You have to have a feel for where you're going. You have to have a feel for, my eyes have to be up. I have to remain loaded. I have to be in a position to where I can pull this and run. Or if somebody pops open and runs with me downfield, I can rip the ball. That is not something that I feel like he's terrific at. I think that while he's younger, Peyton Thorne seems to have a better, at least so far from what we've seen, and it hasn't been a lot, it's just been a more natural feel for remaining calmer in those situations. And, you know, that touchdown run, I think, was him avoiding, was it a designed run that he ran, or was that he's run out of a couple pockets where he's been avoiding.
The touchdown was his own read, but he also had a scramble that he picked up 31 on.
That's what I'm thinking, the scramble. So it's, you know, it's getting out of there and making something happen, you know, after the play breaks down. And in a situation like this with Michigan State, you know, they've got plays breaking. I mean, it just is what it is. They've got plays breaking down pretty early, you know, a lot. So you're going to have to have some improv, but that's not unique to Michigan State now. I mean, that's college football. Yeah. That's, especially in a COVID world, my God, like, you know, the offensive line inconsistencies these days, you know, it's tough. I mean, especially when you get transfers and you get guys leaving early and you're starting over or guys get hurt, and your offensive line can get a little shaky and maybe confidence goes, and your quarterback has to be able to get you out of the fire. And he has to be able to get you out of the fire without adding gas onto it. And I think that Rocky Lombardi, as hard as he plays and as much as he seems to really want to win, and
he wants it.
Badly. And I think that he's a guy that I would say, if it ends here and he never starts another game and he decides he's going to move on, I think I would, you know what, you pat him on the back and you say, I hope it works for you, man. Because, like, I think maybe if you go somewhere and the fit is right, you know, maybe it really can take off. But it seems like it's going to be a lot here for him, you know, going forward, to either promise, you know, you can't go into next season certainly promising that. And, you know, you've got to look at all avenues, as we've talked about. So, you know, right now it would seem to me that you let Peyton Thorne get as much time as you can going forward. You hope if you're Michigan State, you get that extra game too, that crossover game. And I would start them in both and just say, it's yours. And bad or otherwise, it's yours. You know, we're not going to pull you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if you throw four picks, have at it. We're going to see how you handle a full game, because that's the next step here. You need to see how he handles an entire game, you know, from start to stop.
Yeah, and I think it's also just about trying to see what his upside is. You know, what can he bring over the course of a full game? And when you start him a couple times late in the season, like, to me, Thorne is a game manager in every sense of the word. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's not going to beat you. Like, both of his interceptions that he's thrown this year, and you can argue maybe him coming in cold had something to do with it, but and also being a redshirt freshman, but both of his interceptions, they weren't on wrong reads. They were just on, you know, a little bit thrown in front or behind. Yeah, right. Like, the ball was there. The play was there to make. He just missed it. So, like, I think you can – like, the coaching staff has talked about this. Like, we can live with those kind of mistakes. The ones that we can't are when a play is forced. You're throwing right to a defender that you just didn't see. Like, things like that, which is what Rocky has kind of been doing, like, throughout the season. So, at this point in the year, I think it's time to make a change. You know, Mel Tucker said earlier this week, kind of talking about the quarterback competition, that – a quarterback has to be your number one competitor on a team. He looks for accuracy after that and said guys that can go through their progressions and read a defense and then getting the team out of bad plays and into good plays at the line of scrimmage. So, like, to me, you know, knowing Peyton Thorne's history and the story I wrote back on him, like, in early October about, you know, his high school days and things that he was doing back then, you know, if that translates to college, I think you might have a decent player on your hands, a smart player at least, that's not going to beat you with some unforced errors and things like that. And at this point, that's what you're looking for. You want a quarterback that can, that's not going to lose a game for you. He might not win it either, but he's going to put you in positions to score. That's what he did against Ohio State. They did not cross the 50 in that game until Peyton Thorne got in. And he got him in a couple of scoring drives. You know, there are some other ones. You know, one of them was kind of delayed by or derailed by an interception that he threw, but they were still marching on that drive. So I don't know. Maybe you put him in over the course of a game, see what he can do. And if he puts up some points and your defense kind of plays better than it had in past weeks, then you might have something. Maybe see what you have going into the offseason. It's really that simple.
Yeah. And you said another word in there or phrase that maybe has a negative connotation and it shouldn't, is game manager. Right. And it shouldn't, because, you know, Justin Fields is also a guy who manages a game.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, he keeps them out of trouble. Well, the only difference is he's like a complete freak and like just an amazingly talented player. But that's what you're looking for, right? You're looking for a guy, and you said it in the fourth bullet point, a guy who can get you out of trouble and keep you in the right play. It's as much about being able to get you out of a bad play and into a proper, or at least one with a better percentage chance of success, you know, both at the line of scrimmage, in your reads, and then in your progressions, you know, in the pass game. And, you know, I would say that, you know, Lombardi certainly checks the box of being, you know, the best competitor on the team.
Yeah.
He might be. I mean, he's up there, I would think.
I think so.
I think he's probably okay, too, at, you know, seeing things pre-snap. I think that he's talked about, you know, a couple things over the year that leads me to believe that he does a nice job of that. But I do think the thing that gets him is that last one, which is, I think, the most important. He hasn't shown enough of an ability to, once the play starts, now what? Because that's really at the end. Not, you've done all the things that a good student and a really hard worker is going to be able to do. But once the play starts, now we got to see it. And now you got to be a player.
Yeah.
And like Thorne, I think, just has a little bit more of that savvy in him, and he's younger. So there we go. Is there anything else we're looking at here this weekend, Colton, that you're taking away, or something else that you're honing in on? Because it feels like to me, they're still sort of in that mode of like, if we got any other guys out here that haven't got a chance, get them in there and let's see what they can do, because we only have so many more chances here to go out there and compete.
I don't know. Like, in terms of guys I'd like to see, I'd probably say Jordan Simmons. I think he was kind of banged up at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hayward's been getting most of the snaps lately. I feel like putting Jordan Simmons out there would probably help you. You know, he's shown a good burst through the hole and probably some better vision than the other running backs that we've seen so far. So maybe get him out there on the field. In terms of Michigan State, Penn State, you know, Penn State has been a program that's come to Michigan and taken recruits away from both Michigan State and Michigan. So I think if you can win a game like this, and maybe that's a recruiting chip that you can use and say, oh, well, these guys are real and look at them. they're 2-5 right now or whatever. when we came in here and beat them, like, just wait until you come to our program. So there's some things like that. And then obviously the Land Grant trophy. You got to talk about that, you know, that big, beautiful bastard.
The Land Grant trophy. Also, this game's back on the last day of this. Well, I guess technically the last day of the
rivalry weekend.
I went through that whole song and dance earlier this week. But yeah, it's back on the last day, which I think it had been moved from the last day. So that's kind of cool. Like, at least it'll be the final game of the season.
There's no reason for Michigan State to play like Rutgers and Penn State to play Maryland on the last weekend or and this alternate every year. There's no reason for that. I'm glad that they went back to this.
Yeah. So if this thing continues into the next week, I don't know how confident we are that Michigan State will have a game, right? Like, it's, you look at it in that 18-19, because not that they'll be in bad shape COVID, but maybe their opponent, I don't know. You know, right now they're what? They're 2-4 in league play, so that would be fourth, and their crossover would be Minnesota, who I think is like done for the year, basically, right?
Are they?
Is that? Probably. I don't know. Are they coming back? Are they going to try to play?
So
it'd be either Minnesota or maybe Illinois, maybe it's looking like. Possibly? I don't know. I don't know how
that's a winnable game if you can play it, but that's the biggest question.
Either of them would be winnable, I think, if you could play it. But I think that, I think that would have to still be maybe Purdue, I guess. It depends on maybe this. I don't know who else. I don't know who's all playing and who's not this weekend, to be honest. But same time, I guess we'll have to wait and see sort of how this all shakes out and if they can get that extra game in. Signing day, before we get out of here, Colton, is next week. Are you expecting any fireworks for signing day or anything that unforeseen that needs to be hashed out or, you know, some things still waiting in the wings here? What are we looking at?
I think a couple things. I think their top running back in the class, Audric Esime, who's a four-star guy. He's actually, like, you know, risen a lot in the rankings with his senior season. Just had a monster year. That New Jersey back. I'm not sure if he's going to sign. He's still trying to think about that. Notre Dame is actually making a push for him. They're in on some other running backs like Donovan Edwards and some other really talented guys. So I think he's kind of maybe their plan B. But if it goes that way, they're probably going to offer at some point. And I get the sense that he's really interested in that program. So he's a name to try to keep an eye on. Mel Tucker was talking about recruiting battles and if he expects everyone to sign in December. He said, well, look, you know, not everyone will sign, but that's okay. Like, we're in this. Like, we're prepared to battle and fight for the guys that we want. And I actually wrote a story about that today, just trying to decipher some of the differences between Tucker and D'Antonio, because D'Antonio was always a coach who was like, well, if you go visit another school, like, you know, we're done here. You can just go to that school, you know?
Yeah, that's not going
to happen. Tucker's going to be like, look, if we got to wait until February to win a recruiting battle, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to go after the guys that we want, and those guys are going to know that we want them. So that's one name to watch in terms of already committed players. They are going after a four-star linebacker. I'm going to botch his name. He is currently committed to USC. His name is Ma Gael Teo. I'm sorry.
I see him here. From Bishop Gorman, the outside linebacker.
Yes. So that's he's a guy that I think Michigan State is trying hard to flip. If you follow Crystal Balls, a lot of the national analysts have put one in for Michigan State, and that'd be a really good get because they need some linebackers. Like, they're so thin at that position.
Yeah, that'd be a really good get. And they could probably sell that. Yeah,
he's ranked I think number 155 in the country right now. So like, his brother was committed to USC and played there a couple years, a former five-star, like top 20 guy. He just entered the transfer portal, so I don't know. I wonder if Mel's going to take a run at him too. Like, you need all the linebackers you can get, and if you can get those brothers, I mean, like, that's a really good,
good
start for you guys. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Signing day's coming up fast. That's kind of Mel Tucker Super Bowl. So
it's gotta be. Yeah, and I think that's what you're talking about. I mean, like, I don't know if, you know, somebody like this linebacker or somebody else, you know, if you're going to get like a surprise signing, but like, I mean, he's right. It's gotta be maxed out. It's gotta be the best it can be. I think that's the takeaway. And obviously that's gotta be it every time, but like, you know, he knows this, he's been around big time programs and worked inside of them. I mean, he knows how important, you know, especially if you've got a kid that you think is even like, I don't want to say on the hook, but like even close to being on the hook, you've got to finish right now. Yeah. Like, you've got to be able to make some kids change their mind early like this. And the only way you do that is by just sort of selling that vision and sort of saying to a kid like this, like, you know, look, we need to be faster in the middle. We've got you know, some older kids that are, you know, moving on. We've got some older kids that maybe won't be here. You know, we don't care if we have to play a freshman. I don't care. We need to be faster. We need to be faster right now.
Yeah.
And even if that's you coming in here and, you know, cranking it up in practice, as we see, you know, sort of what happens, then, you know, so be it. But that's obviously the message that'll be sent. And we will see sort of how it goes. Colton, you got anything else today before we ride out of here?
I think I'm all good. Long live the Land-Grant Trophy.
Long live the Land-Grant Trophy. It'll be competed for through COVID could not stop the Land-Grant Trophy. It's one of the only things left in our world here that hasn't been stopped. So that'll be good to see that come out one way or the other. If it goes to Penn State or Michigan State, we'll see on Saturday. But until then, and after that, we'll be back to talk it all over. And I'm sure Colton and I will talk next week about what's all happening forward. Maybe before signing day, after signing day. I don't know how it'll go. But either way, we appreciate you guys listening to The Beat. Be sure to check out everything Colton's got this week on The Athletic. Same with myself. We've got a ton of Michigan State stuff, Michigan stuff. A lot of Lions stuff, too, for you football folks out there. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of things happening
busy
here.
Busy times.
In Detroit as well. James Edwards is writing about a new Pistons player about every 30 seconds still, I think, right? Is that still going on? So we still got a lot of stuff happening. So be sure to check that out. If you're not a subscriber, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go ahead and get that remedied. And for those of you who are, we very much appreciate it. For everyone involved, thanks so much. Be sure to tip those bartenders and servers, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The place where I was born and raised. The place where I